flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I'm not out here drinking mimosas. I will tell you, a buddy of mine, just this is a life hack. He says his office building gives out flowers for the dudes to take home to their wives. Now that's A+ office management right there.
I think that office building is great. Because they know all the guys going to forget anyway. All the dudes going to go home. So they're like, let me make sure that they can come to work happy tomorrow instead of sad.
It's going to be interesting, I think, with the with Valentine's Day going forward. There was some serious news yesterday. Mayor Bowser had a press conference. Mm-hmm. And I got this from my dude Mark Seagraves. Seagraves is all over. Like when Bowser talks, that dude is on it, man. And she had some, like, banger quotes yesterday. She said, straight up, we will have Super Bowls and World Cups at RFK Stadium when we get this thing built.
Is it going to be RFK still?
I don't know that answer. we're going to talk. I want to get into this RFK stuff, but right now we got Pete Prisco from CBS Sports on the line. Pete, what's up, dude? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good, man.
We are doing well, man. It's interesting for us in Washington to have the discussion about the draft and what they need to do to get better. But it's with the serious approach of how can they become a Super Bowl contender because they've figured out quarterback. It's been a long, long time since that's been the case.
Yeah, no question about it. You guys know how I felt about that kid. I told you that.
You were all in.
Yeah, I mean, he's special, and he is every bit as good as I thought he would be, and even more. And you can tell he loves it, and he lives it, and they follow him. And again, you don't have to worry about it for the next decade plus in D.C., which has to be a real comfortable feeling for all the Washington fans.
Absolutely, man.
What do you think their next move should be? As they try to get better and make sure they can maintain this.
Well, after watching the defense get gashed, they got to get better on that side of the ball. A pass rusher. They have Fowler's an unrestricted free agent. I know he had the sacks last year, but he really wasn't as productive as the sack numbers. They need to get better rush at the passer, and I think that's a number one priority for them. And I think they will do it. They have the money to go spend and. Look, why not go nose around Myles Garrett? I mean, if you're the Commanders, I would seriously look into that. I'd make the calls on it, see what it takes. If it's two first round picks, am I giving up that? Probably not, but maybe a one and a three, and I'll make that deal. So I think they have to improve the pass rush.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting. You have the article on CBS Sports about the top 100 free agents in the NFL, right? And Darnold's at the top of your list. What's nice for Washington is they're not in the quarterback market. Second on your list, T. Higgins, then Josh Sweat. Both guys that there's at least been conversations regarding Washington. Brian and I both strongly feel like invest on the defense, let the offense kind of do its own thing. What do you think ends up happening with Higgins? Do you think Washington will be a player in that?
I think, you know, obviously you got to look at it. If he hits the market, by the way, there's still a chance that, you know, they tag him or sign him before. I doubt it, but, you know, there's always that chance. But if he hits the market and you're Washington, you have to make a call on it. I mean, you give him another playmaker. But I'm with you guys. I think the focus has to be on the defense. You know, they can score. They scored all year long. It wasn't an issue. You know, the issue is on the defensive side of the ball. So I do think if, you know, I had to look at it from a priority standpoint, I think it has to be the defensive side of the ball. Whether you get pass rushers, help in the secondary, whatever, you need to find help on that side of the ball because offense wasn't the problem most of the season. The problem was the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Totally was.
What do you think Josh Sweat's market is going to be like?
It's an interesting thing because he's 28 years old. Remember, he kind of gambled last year and went back on a one-year deal. And then led the team in sacks during the regular season with 8, didn't have any in the playoffs, and then was fantastic in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So, you know, how do you grade that? I think there's a premium value on pass rushers at that age. You know, you'd like him to be a couple years younger, like 26, but he's still got a lot of good football left in him. So I think the market's going to be very robust for him, and I think he's going to get a big contract.
Do you have – I said this after watching that Super Bowl. Obviously, Sweat was impressive. He was impressive all season. But I just wonder with that Eagles defense and specifically that defensive line, if the sum of the parts is better than any individual player. You know what I mean? Like, that would be my only hesitation with Sweat. He's been very good. I just don't know that he's an elite player once you get off that Eagles defense.
Yeah, and, you know, you could, well, Jalen Carter's clearly an elite player.
Yes,
I mean, he is, but he makes everybody else around better. So I get where you're going with that. But, you know, if you come in waves and, you know, you can get after the quarterback. Milton Williams is another guy on that defensive line. If you look at him individually, he's not Jalen Carter, but he's a darn good penetrating up the field defensive tackle. And the group is good together. But, you know, if you're the Eagles, they also have guys they like behind those guys. So maybe they let them go out the door. But when you don't have, you know, waves of guys, most teams don't, then you got to go out and overpay to get guys like that. So it makes sense for a team like Washington to get some bodies up there. Now, it doesn't have to be Sweat on a mega deal, but they have to get better up front.
For sure.
Offensive line as well, I think that needs to improve because you look at what Philadelphia did to Kansas City and they got a lot of pressure on Washington throughout the season. What are some guys out there in the top 100, I would say?
Yeah, there's a lot market, and if you want to go stopgap, you can do that too. You know, if you find a veteran you like and you wanted to get a one-year deal, there are guys out there. I mean, you know, guy coming off injury. James Daniels in Pittsburgh, you know, coming off an injury. Zach Martin, dad veteran, coming off an injury. There's a lot of guys coming off injuries, but there's guys you can, you know, if you want to get better on your offensive line, those are the kind of guys you can get. Now, you know, they're not going to command the big contract because they're coming off injuries, and a couple of those guys are up in the years, but you can improve your offensive line. And if the Super Bowl and the playoff run didn't teach us anything, it's the lesson we always seem to kind of cast aside, never should. Big people win in the NFL. There's only so many big people that can play the game of football and play it well. And if you can find those guys, you're going to have a good football team. It's nice to have the quarterback. Don't get me wrong. They cure a lot of ills. But when you have big people up front of the offensive line who can protect and run block, and you have big people on the other side of the ball who can stop the run and knock the other guy's quarterback down, you're going to win a lot of football games in the NFL.
Yeah,
that's the way I think all the time, man.
Talking with our friend Pete Prisco here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Pete is senior NFL columnist for CBS Sports. You can check him on CBS Sports HQ. You can follow him on Twitter at PriscoCBS. A couple linebackers on your list. You should check out Pete's latest top 100 free agents in the NFL on CBSSports.com. Couple linebackers in Nick Bolton and Zach Bond. Both guys were in the Super Bowl. Both played well in that Super Bowl. Bond was outrageous all year. Bond really crushed the Commanders in that NFC title game. I kind of have a feeling both those guys end up staying where they are. What do you think about Bond and Bolton?
I think the two teams will try and do everything they can to keep him. You know, Bond has resurrected his career in large part because of the Eagles. I mean, and he doesn't owe him anything. If you get more money elsewhere, go get it. But I think there's an allegiance there. He liked it there. They use him well. And so I think, you know, ideally they'd like to have him back. If the money gets out of whack somewhere else, then I think he goes. But remember, and that's the one thing about the Eagles. We look at the Eagles and we say, oh, they got, you know, four guys in the top 20 of my top 100. Well, Sweat was on a one-year proved it, but they had issues, questions about him. You know, Milton Williams before this year was viewed as a guy who's a good player, but not, you know, going to command great money, had a good, really good season. And now he's on the top, you know, 15 guys. And then you look, Becton, they converted him from right tackle to guard. He became a monster at right guard. And Bond, they signed him, you know, off the street, basically, and gave him a one-year deal and converted him from outside linebacker to inside linebacker. So player development matters, too. I mean, you got to be able to develop those guys. So I think, is Bond going to command a big contract off of that season? Probably yes. Are you concerned about that? You know, somewhat maybe, because you don't know if that was like because he moved inside that he had his career year. As for Bolton, I think the Chiefs want Bolton back in the worst way. He's their quarterback on that defense.
Yeah.
Good run player. You know, not great against the pass, but again, he's a guy they'd love to have back.
Yeah, both those guys are interesting to me. In Washington, I'll confess, I don't know that – I'm guessing he made your list. Bobby Wagner, 35 on your list, top 100 free agents. Do you think they keep Wagner in Washington?
If Bobby Wagner played like he did – and by the way, I didn't think he would. If he played like he did last year and was younger, he'd be much higher on the list.
Yeah.
And so I think if they're smart, they'll bring him back. And now you can't get crazy with the money, and obviously they didn't last year, and I don't think they will this time around, but – if you're Bobby Wagner, you like it there. You're friendly with the quarterback. It's a good situation. You're 35. Are you going to get a mega deal from somebody else? Probably not. So why not bring him back? I think it makes all the sense in the world to bring Bobby Wagner back.
I agree. But it's interesting. Another dude that's on your list is Khalil Mack. Last year, Washington added a bunch of veterans that some around the league questioned how much they had left. And they really balled out. Wagner's an example. Ertz is an example. What do you think happens with Khalil Mack? Apparently he wants to get paid. I don't know that he's going to. What's your thought on a guy that's probably a future Hall of Famer?
And you know what? Played better than probably his sack numbers would indicate from a year ago. I think he was actually really good. Surprisingly to me, he was really good. I didn't think he had that in him. But he played well. But again, he's an older guy, and you know, all you got to do is look at Von Miller. You know, it kind of didn't work out for him in Buffalo. So you got to be careful sometimes with the older player. You're not going to give him a 4-year deal, you know, averaging a big bunch of money and give him up front money. I think if you can get him on a couple year deal, get him some guaranteed money in that deal and bring him in, I think you'd make a lot of sense for a lot of teams because he could still rush the passer. He's a guy that can get after the quarterback.
Pete, De'Ami Brown down the stretch, he began to play a lot better for this for the Commanders. Has been up and down throughout his career. What are your thoughts on him moving forward?
I really liked him coming out and thought he would be better than he's been. And I think what we saw at the end of last year might be the start of something for him. I do a list of guys I like better than most people and better than the scouts, and he was one of them. And I expected big things from De'Ami Brown, and I think at the end of last year we started seeing bits and pieces of that. And that's the one thing about free agency. You want ascending players. You don't want descending players. You know, as one coach told me a long time ago, he goes, ideal age for any free agent is 26, because his best football is probably the next 3 or 4 years until he turns 30. You don't want to pay, usually, you know, particularly the big contracts, you don't want to pay them if they're 29, 30 years old because you're never going to get your bang for your buck. So I think a guy like De'Ami Brown is an interesting one to keep an eye on because he's an ascending player. And I think those are the kind of players teams target.
Yeah, in a big way. It's interesting, though, there's a couple guys. You mentioned Garrett earlier. What do you think? There's so much uncertainty with Cincinnati. What do you think happens with Hendrickson?
Well, I think in their, you know, master plan, they bring all those guys back. Now, is that reasonable? Probably not. But I think Hendrickson is one, you know, and Burrow's talked openly about Hendrickson. If they don't have Hendrickson, they don't have anybody who can really rush the passer, and you can't win that way.
Yep.
So I think they have to find a way to make that work. You know, Joseph Asai is another young player who had 5 sacks last year. He came into the league. They expected him to be a big-time pass rusher. Well, he's now an unrestricted free agent on the market as well. So, and by the way, another one of those ascending players, a younger player who might, you know, you might get him for a decent rate and be able to cash in on that. But I do think that the Bengals have to find a way to keep Hendrickson.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like Cincinnati is in the process of tearing down a team that could have been fairly great. One dude on your list, if you want to check out Pete Prisco's top 100 free agents, it's not just the one thing I always like about your work, Pete, is it's not just the same stuff you read everywhere else. Like, you have your own opinions. You obviously watch the tape, all of that. Cowboys D tackle, Osa, I don't know how to say the last, Odazigawa, I think.
It's Odazigwu, I think it is, but you know you're close. I'm probably wrong. You're probably wrong. But probably.
That's a dude that Dan Quinn knows well. He's only 26. He's disruptive. Maybe not the biggest dude. Where do you think he ends up on a Dallas team with some questions themselves?
Yeah, he is actually really disruptive, and that's what he is. He's a disruptor. Is he great, holding up against the run when you're running right at him? Probably not, but he does play the runs. You know, he's not a bad run player, but they've had problems over the years stopping the run. I think this is one of those situations where if you want a guy who can get up the field and get you some sacks and get you some penetration and you know, get into the backfield on run plays, that's because he's coming off a really good year. And you're right, Dan Quinn does know him, and he's a guy. But by the same token, they also used a first-round pick on a defensive tackle last year. And, you know, at times he flashed. I think he's got to get a little bit stronger. And so do you go spend money to go, you know, upgrade there when you did use an asset, a high asset on a defensive tackle last year?
Yeah.
Two guys in Washington that played last year, I think both of them had a very good season. One is on the older side. Zach Ertz at 34, and Jeremy Chinn, 27 years old. Do you see those guys getting a lot of interest around the league?
Yeah, I think Ertz is better off going back. I mean, you know, look, he seemed comfortable in the offense. They liked him there. He had a good year, productive year when he was on the field, and I think that's reeks of I'm going back and playing another year or two with this guy. And so I think he'll ultimately end up going back. And as far as Chinn, you know, was always viewed as a guy that could play near the line of scrimmage and not in the back end. And you know, how would he handle coverage on the playing deep? And he was better at it. And I think that helped his value go up. And they're comfortable with him. I would think that they would try and bring him back. But again, the safety position's weird because I think a lot of times you can find those guys. I really do. Now the elite ones. But if you ask everybody around the league who are the elite ones, Kyle Hamilton and guys like that, is the value there for that position? That's the question. I mean, do those guys win you Super Bowls? And the answer is you'd probably like to be really steady back there and have a guy who can make some plays, but he doesn't have to necessarily be a game changer. You'd rather be good on the defensive line and at corner, and I think we saw that with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, it's... it's going to be really interesting. I think Ertz ends up back here.
I do, too.
I think he really was happy here. I mean, he played bulk of his career in the NFC East. I do think Ertz comes back. What do you think with Chris Godwin with the Bucs? You think he stays in Tampa?
I think they're going to do everything in their power to keep him there because, look, Mike Evans is slowing down. They do love Jalen McMillan, who really came on at the end when Godwin went down. But, you know, they like to play a lot of three. And, you know, the offensive coordinator is different, but they'll still play a lot of three receivers. So I think they'd like to have him back. He's much better, by the way, in the slot. Remember, they moved him outside the year before. He struggled out there. He's comfortable. He's leading the league in catches when he got hurt last year.
And
he's
touchdowns,
much better.
Right?
Yeah, he's much better playing in the slot. And I think anybody's looking for a good slot receiver. Now, he's coming off the injury, and he's had other injuries. He had a knee injury in his past as well. But again, if you're looking for a good slot receiver, he would make all the sense in the world.
Last thing from me, Pete, Commanders go 12-5 regular season, get to the NFC title game. How much of their success do you think, from a national perspective, is sustainable?
All of it, because of the quarterback. That guy keeps you relevant. You know, there's always the, and I call them the aberration seasons, where a team doesn't have a franchise quarterback, and the ball bounces their way. They play really good defense. They run the ball. The line plays good. They don't have a ton of injuries. The mistakes don't go against them. They go with them. And that team ends up playing, you know, in the playoffs. But then it disappears. And then you're gone. You don't have sustainable success.
Minnesota.
The Commanders have sustainable success because they have that guy.
Yep.
He does that to them, for them, and it will make them relevant for the next 12 to 15 years because of Jaden Daniels.
I totally agree, man. I totally agree.
He improved weekly. Once he saw a team, he came back. And he was very good against them. Did you see that from him, how he didn't make like the same mistake twice early on?
You know what's very telling about a young quarterback is how he handles pressure, the blitz. And he was really good at it.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys get broken by that, and they don't handle it well. And, he can move, and he can move to throw, and he can move to run. But I think the way he handled the blitzes is telling us anything about him as a quarterback. And that, to me, tells you where he's going, how he's going to get there. He is special. And again, I go back to my theory on it. If you have that guy, you don't have to worry anymore. And that's the best thing about having a guy like Jaden Daniels. And you know what? If you're a Commanders fan, I said this, I told you guys this exact same thing in the summer. Need not worry anymore. You're going to be around for the next decade.
Dude, I remember when we were in Miami for those joint practices, not even on the air, you were just saying it. You're like,
yeah, he's special. He's right.
he's a different player, man. Pete, we appreciate your time, bro. Thank you.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, man.
Pete Prisco.
Raving about Jaden. I love it.
Really good at what he does, been doing it a long time. Good dude. Give him a follow at Prisco, CBS.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Out of context quote from the text thread, Landfill texted, Jeff Walker also wants studs. Just saying. That's what it said. I'm just reading the text.
Might be a diamond stud in your ear, huh, Jeff?
I'm going to read now.
You turn off your mic.
Yeah, he talking about a diamond stud in my ring. I hope we talk about that.
Pause. There was a meeting yesterday. Ward 7 council member Wendell Felder and D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. D.C. residents got the opportunity to ask city officials questions and express concerns about the RFK Stadium site on Thursday during a meeting at Eastern High School in Northeast. I am reading from NBCWashington.com. Let's say the byline. Walter Morris wrote this story. I quote Mayor Bowser. Let's be perfectly clear. That Super Bowl will be coming to that site if we have a stadium there.
Uh-huh.
The DC,
and I agree with her because you get a new stadium, you will get a Super Bowl.
New York got one. Minnesota, Detroit.
Yeah.
New York was able to get one even without a dome, which
is
pretty telling.
Yeah, I was up there. That was an interesting week.
The Giants kind of running the league, but I think the Giants' power running the league is kind of dissipating as you get all these new Wall Street owners in. Mm-hmm. The Giants are actually selling off 10%. You see that?
Yeah.
Private equity is allowed to buy up to 10% of NFL teams. Giants are valued probably around $8 billion. So, yeah, I'll take $800 million in cash.
Hell yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Hell yeah, I would.
I'm reading now from NBCWashington.com. Last week, the D.C. Council gave the green light to begin long-term planning for the 170-plus acres along the Anacostia River. And Bowser believes an NFL team is the best way to do it. We know it's the right time and we have the right partner, Bowser said. We haven't always been able to say we have the right partner in the Washington football team. Her vision includes 30% of the land designated for parks and a stadium of about 20 to 25 acres. We can also prioritize affordable and mixed-income housing, expand retail and commercial opportunities, Ward 7 Felder said.
Huh?
Before the meeting, Ward 7 resident John Capozzi expressed concerns over taxpayer money going toward an NFL stadium. I'm a huge football fan, but if they want us to pay for it, that's just not going to work, he said. Other issues residents brought up included environmental impact, small businesses, and parking. I add parenthetically, this will be great for small businesses.
It will be.
Bowser said they will start hammering out details for a potential deal with the Commanders. We're going to develop 177 acres there. It's going to be with an NFL stadium or without, but we're going to develop it. We need to develop it. Bowser stressed they're in the very beginning of planning, but they hope to address some of those questions about transportation and traffic at the next community meeting. There's no word on when that will be.
I'll tell you, man, it always has the infrastructure there with Metro and all that. And I'll be honest, going in and out of RFK was light years better than going in and out of FedEx.
Or, sure.
Well, Northwest. When I would go over there, they got the day at the park. They do it every year. Events D.C.
Yep.
And when I'm over there,
D.C. representatives.
Yeah, I've been looking around, and I'm like, people saying you don't have enough room to do stuff. You got way more than enough room. And I believe the waterfront area makes it even better to have restaurants and stuff on that water right there. You can build it up to where the boats can start coming through in there on Sundays and stuff like that for games. The park, the area that they use now for all the fields, that doesn't have to be as big as it is. Right now, it just looks like it's astronomical. You can make it into something that's much more easier to handle. But a stadium can definitely go there with everything that they talked about. Housing and all that stuff can still be there in that area.
Dude, where this office is, this whole part of town, largely a creation of building that baseball stadium.
Yeah.
And the actual money, the actual finances involved, the baseball stadium has paid the city back on their investment, I believe, twofold in taxes. You can make the argument of the housing around here. I don't know how much of it is affordable. I frankly don't even know what constitutes affordable housing.
What it is, like a lot of like, these buildings here.
Everything around here is expensive as hell.
A certain percentage of the ones inside. Like they have right across the street, we step out our front door. A certain percentage of those condos, apartments, whatever you call them. Are affordable. They have to be affordable housing.
Right.
Not everyone in the building.
I think I don't know when this happened, but I read something interesting. There was what ended up being a really, really bad kind of public policy in the 50s was when the government built projects, housing projects, where they built these places for really poor people to live all together.
Uh-huh.
And it created lots of problems.
Yeah.
And what these anthropologists and sociologists have figured out is you're much better off trying to spread out poverty and letting people live around non-impoverished people and see if there's some version of a rising tide, right?
Like,
if you live in a nice neighborhood, ideally you keep your house nice and then you go to school because everybody else goes to school and you go to work because everybody else goes to work rather than putting a whole lot of poor people in one spot. So there's been like this... Like an understanding has changed in how affordable housing is operated from a government perspective. And to your point, B, I believe it's like 10 or 15% of all apartment buildings, all housing buildings have to offer affordable housing.
Yeah.
I think that's like national. I don't think it's specifically local.
Well, I know for sure in this whole area here, it's a lot of it.
Now, what I don't know is because this city is so expensive in general, I don't know what constitutes low income or affordable housing, right?
Yeah, the amount that you're paying. Because I was at a meeting with some guys talking about some possibility investments, and they were talking about a lot of this stuff is basically low income. And all that stuff started at $2,600 a month on up.
It doesn't sound too low income.
But it must tell you the amount of money people must be making. To be able to live up to it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you hit $2,600 for an apartment, and a lot of them were not two-bedroom, they were one-bedroom. And I'm like, okay then, well, so damn. You go out, you can have a house out in Virginia somewhere for it.
Yo, so I just Googled affordable housing in Washington, and the Channel, which is one of those dope new apartment buildings over on the wharf. This was an easy find. Affordable and workforce housing units are in critical demand in Washington, D.C. To create an inclusive, diverse waterfront community, the Channel offers 153 apartment residences ranging from studio one-bedroom and two-bedroom floor plans at rents of affordable housing to households earning 30, 60, 100, and 120% of the area median income. Housing vouchers are welcome. So this is like the new mentality trying to get folks into better houses is I think the government gives a voucher.
Yeah.
Yo, go find the apartment you want, and we'll cover it. And maybe they cover some of it.
They cover up to it, and you pay the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no way. The wharf is pretty much brand new. The wharf is newer than Navy Yard as far as when it was built and developed. The wharf, the wharf was probably built within the last 10 years, wouldn't you say? And it's like still ongoing.
It was there before they just started putting new stuff there.
Right.
Because I can remember.
The old wharf with Captain.
Campbell.
Yeah,
Campbell.
No, Captain Pell's out in Fairfax.
Captain White's.
Captain White's was over there. You had.
But all the development, I guess, east
Hogan's
of that.
Hogan's way, way back.
Yeah, well, there used
Zanzibar.
To be Cantina Marina. Did you ever go in there?
Nah.
That was fun.
Gangplank, I used to go in. I put my boat up there. That was fun.
What, regardless.
That was a different flex there, Jeff.
The wharf just was built, and it all has affordable housing inside of it. This is the new wave of affordable housing as determined by academics, right? Like, this is how they think it should work. There's no way RFK won't be built without that.
Yeah.
So the argument about affordable housing, I understand.
But let's be real. Have you been down there lately? You see the prices of the homes down there right now?
Dude.
It's not very affordable.
No.
If you're looking at the prices. So people can sit up there and make that comment, but everything is going up. You know, the homes that we used to see back in the day, they cost about 2 or 3 times more.
Dude, I'm on Redfin right now, okay? A house that is, I don't know, less than a block from RFK Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
This would be about 22nd and C Northeast, is $1.6 million.
Yeah.
That sound affordable? Like, if you want to oppose things, you can always come up with a reason to. I just, the affordable housing thing is a myth. It, if the area is going to be developed one way or another, they're going to.
It's going to go up.
There are government rules and mandates to put affordable housing in there, and it'll happen. If you're worried about traffic, if you live in the city,
you're going
to
have traffic.
And you're worried about traffic, move to the country.
And guess
There's
what?
Traffic everywhere.
And guess what's out there? Traffic. Because you know what? Everybody comes where? To the city to work. And then in the evening, they go back home. And it's still traffic. I live in Centerville, 30 miles outside of where we are from now. There's always some traffic somewhere.
I don't know how.
You know, people used to making those excuses and those arguments.
That area is just vacant
right
now.
And nobody ever says anything in defense of it. But now you got a lot of people that who understands this stuff. You know, and I think the more people pay attention to it, you know, like I can remember when I first got here, you had to come to D.C. to have any type of nightlife. It was nothing in Virginia. Then Virginia said, you know what, to hell with that. So we're going to start building Reston Town Center. You got South Riding, got their stuff out there. You got all the way out to North Riding, okay? Over in Ashburn, they got everything. What's One Loudoun? You can go places and not have to go to D.C. every time to go out. Because people build stuff. And guess what people were saying back then? Oh, it's not going to be good. We don't want it like it. Now they can't help but have it. And in the houses out there, those condos, and all, condos go for 7 figures. Let's be real.
Totally. So. Dude, I'm just so tired of the pearl clutching for folks. Mark Seagraves was at this meeting and tweeted a bunch of stuff. And the mayor said the anchor for this development is an NFL stadium, and it'll be beneficial to all residents of D.C. There's no grocery store over that part of town, right? You think the Harris Teeter or the Whole Foods were in this neighborhood before Wegmans. The baseball stadium?
Yeah. It wasn't.
From our office, from the prison cell studio, I can walk 3 blocks to the center field gate of Nats Park. I can walk 4 blocks to a Whole Foods, or I can walk 6 blocks to a Harris Teeter.
Yeah.
None of that was here.
Oh, none. I can tell you what was here. I used to be around.
Be
but it's going,
tell listen, the truth, man.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, people say things. But then again, a lot of times they argue knowing that it's coming. Because, you know, they're trying to position themselves to benefit off of it.
I applaud. If anybody in the mayor's office is listening, please let the mayor know. I applaud Bowser. Yesterday, there's an activist, a D.C. activist. I'm not familiar with this dude's work, but I will say his name. Adam Eidinger. Hopefully I got that right. Adam Eidinger asked Mayor Bowser if she will commit to no public subsidy for an NFL stadium, to which she replied, no. That's how deals get done. Stop pearl clutching. Build it. It'll be good for everyone. It's B. Mitch and Finley. Everybody's dancing today. Caught White Brian dancing earlier. Now we got Chris Russell bobbing his head to Sandstorm. Die rude. You big Sandstorm guy, Roost?
No. It's just, I don't know, just a groovy tune, and I just thought I'd add a little something, a little appetizer to the conversation.
Groovy tune, Lampville. Yes.
Groovy tune.
Yes.
How are you?
That's like very old man of me to call something a groovy tune.
Say something is groovy. That's that shows age right there.
That is very old. Man.
I am old. I mean, this just did breaking news.
Are you 50? That's happening right there.
Are you 50?
I'm 51.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Old man.
51.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I feel every bit of
God.
We haven't seen you
it's
in a while.
A good coffee mug. I like that.
This is from the kitchen. I don't drink coffee.
You stole it from somebody?
Oh, of course.
No, there's a bunch of cups that you wash and you use and then you put back.
Yeah. Not necessarily the news. Those are people cups.
I've brought in my own mugs.
You want to borrow one? I got two.
Yeah.
They gave me two.
I don't want
to
be
they
like...
They gave you two and me zero, or is one of those supposed to be mine?
No, none of them were ever yours.
I had
one day and then somebody else gave me another one the next day.
I used this
one. And I have them both here.
If you're watching on the stream, I don't drink coffee. I think it's gross, but I did take somebody's.
That's something somebody bought from their house.
So what are you drinking? Hot tea?
Diet Coke, Roost.
Is that something somebody bought from their house?
Why don't you just drink it from the bottle, dude?
I don't like plastic bottles. And two, we got this dope new ice machine. They can't give any of us any money.
I heard you talking about the ice machine.
But we got an ice machine.
Are you the one that's taking all the ice and not putting the water in so that it makes more ice?
Roost.
I think I'm going to blame you for this.
I've used it once.
I think you've used it more than that. You just didn't want to admit it.
Brian would know because this is the first time he's ever seen me with a cup in here.
I use it.
I
put water in it.
B's always using it. I bet B's used it more times today than I have ever.
I haven't used it today at all.
Miss Ivy was nice enough to buy us an ice pellet machine. You got to fill the water reserve up so that it creates.
That is your job every day you come in here.
My job?
Yeah.
I've kind of taken over.
Since you
want
to suggest what the hell we need to do, you take over the job.
I mean, I've been doing it. I did it yesterday afternoon before I left and the K-Cup machine.
Whoever's the oldest can get to tell a person what to do.
Landfill.
Oh, I'm 56. You got to put the ice and water in it.
I invited Rooster on the program to talk football, and he's just screaming at me about an ice machine. What the hell?
I'm not screaming at
you. Your face is
you.
Red.
I'm just a little
on the stream. Look, Rooster's face is
just
red.
A little enthusiastic. It's Valentine's Day. I wanted to spread
love.
How
are you celebrating?
I'm not. I'm working.
You
see any burgundy on me?
I don't see any burgundy. Okay.
Now you admit to the burgundy thing.
No. I'm just saying that's your bit, so I'm just proving.
You're like Ron Swanson.
Yeah. I was going to go to WWE Friday Night SmackDown tonight at Capital One Arena, and literally nobody can give me tickets. So I've got to pay for them, which I don't want to do, and sit up in the 400s. The Rooster is too freaking good for that. I have worked too damn hard in my life, including going to Capital One Arena on Wednesday night to interview L.A. Knight, the megastar, one of their biggest stars, and nobody will give me tickets. Lenny the Legend came up empty. The radio station came up empty. WWE ain't giving out any tickets. Come on, people.
Landfill. What is, Brian,
I'd like you to. And wind up in the 420s?
Well,
no, thanks.
I mean, if you don't have one and they don't have any, you may well buy one.
I'm too good for that at this point. I want to be in a suite.
Wow.
I want to be ringside.
Well,
you know, I'm just.
You better start spending some of that damn money you got.
Bruce. I don't got any money, B.
Bruce, you can get a ticket in the lower level for $130.
$130. That's, you know, by the time you add $4,000 worth of ticket fees, it makes it, what,
$175? That's
$130
with the fees. Man. Bruce. I'm used to being catered to. That's what I'm.
Huh?
The bottom line is I have reached a certain level in my life where either I don't go or I go in a little bit of luxury.
Let me ask you this question.
You know how you guys like to go in a little bit of luxury?
Do you feel you reached that point, or did somebody tell you reached that point?
I've anointed myself as being in that category. Like, I don't want to go if I've got to rub elbows with the unwashed masses in the 400s. I just don't want to do it. I'd rather watch it on USA Network tonight and eat Chinese food at home.
That's what you're going to be doing.
Rooster, you want to celebrate?
Want to come over and watch wrestling with me?
Nah.
You want to celebrate Valentine's Day at the wrestling match?
Yeah.
Or invite Brian over to your house to watch wrestling together on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest Valentine's Day guy.
With the lady out of town or something?
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
How far out of town?
Outer Banks.
You could try down there.
I'm not going down
and be right back tomorrow for work. What time you going?
We took care of
Valentine's Day already.
Whoa, what does that mean?
I mean, in terms of gifts and all
that.
So
you do have burgundy on.
So you wore burgundy earlier in the week.
I do not have burgundy
on. Drawers.
Would you stop?
Landfill, how do you feel about Rooster declaring that he can't sit in the 400 level with the unwashed masses
Landfill
and needs a suite?
I mean, Rooster's correct. I wouldn't either.
Stupid. I mean, even if you had a suite, you wouldn't go.
I love the Rooster. I love the new Rooster. He's finally sticking up for himself.
He's cock-a-doodle doing all over this wrestling
match. I mean, listen,
match.
At some point, I mean, I deserve to be treated a little bit more than a numbskull. You know, than a ham and egger, a 9-to-5 ham and egger.
I think it's worth pointing out something else as well. Last year on Valentine's Day, Beamish got a gift from a host here, and today...
Oh, that's right. Cakes got him a present last
Cakes
year for
wife
Valentine's
gave
Day.
Gave me a present.
And this year on Valentine's Day, he Cakes got invited just... over for dinner by another host. What the hell's going on over
dinner
here?
And to wrestle.
Hey, no, he never said about wrestling. And I said no. And Cakes' wife sent me a gift. It just was bought. It didn't been here by Cakes. So you all trying to make me
you
like, yo, I'm not
present.
Like y'all.
You got a gift on Valentine's
they
Day.
They not like us.
I got a gift.
On Valentine's
on
Day.
On Valentine's Day from a lady and her husband bought to me. Y'all trying to make me be like, yo, I'm not like y'all.
Well, what about this? Now you've been invited to a dude's
and
house
I turned
to
it
watch
down.
Wrestling
and,
on Valentine's
well,
Day.
Well, it's still...
To wrestle.
Hey, it's still
not
way,
to wrestle.
It is still way better than a dude in the shower dreaming about you. Naked.
Now, Rooster,
were we supposed to talk about football? I mean, Awad kept me on the phone for 15 minutes.
This is way better.
4,000 questions about T. Higgins.
Can we talk about what you declared yesterday? So the Roost prefers to do his television hit in the middle of the bullpen where everyone is. And as you can imagine, he's quite loud and flamboyant with his arm gestures.
Yeah.
And yesterday you admitted, I want everybody to know I'm doing my television hit.
What did I say?
That was Brian's theory.
Not only that, but I want you to know how brilliant I am.
We knew you were
Yo,
doing...
Yo, Rooster ate his blue chew today, man. He came
we
in
We knew
slaying.
He was doing his television hit. The brilliance thing never popped up.
Well, I told JP that when you weren't listening, Brian.
Bruce, B. Mitch isn't going to be able to make it. I also not able to make it.
Yeah.
Do you want to invite...
Well, you're going to be cooking steaks on your sous vide or whatever it is,
right? I probably
right?
won't sous vide. No. It takes too long.
Jeff come over. Jeff moving to the
That's
suburbs.
What I was going to say. Do you want to invite Jeff and Landfill over to wrestle?
No.
Why not? They're good company.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you for not inviting me over to wrestle. That was the...
But Jeff, Ruth, I love live, you, bro. Ruth should live out in Virginia, man. You should
That's
move
fine.
Out there with him.
I mean, first of all, no. I'd put Jeff in a death grip headlock. And just squeeze the life out of him. And Landfill...
Can we go to break, please?
Can we please go to break? I'd probably just kick Landfill in the ass and just push him right out the door.
Jeff, do you think you could beat Rooster in a wrestling match?
One, I'm not wrestling Rooster. Two, I don't even have to do no grapple or anything to make Rooster go down.
Wow.
I'll run around the ring.
Pause.
Depends on how you said that, man. B was picking up the same thing, bro.
And we gotta go to break, man. We gotta get kicked off.
I don't have to fight. I just go around the ring. Rooster be tired.
Yeah, we don't want
to
get fired. It's Valentine's Day.
I'm not grappling you.
Do you know that guy's name?
Yeah, White Brian.
Yeah, bang. Rooster's
I listen
on
to the
fire.
Show all the time.
Rooster's on fire today, man.
I mean, it's either she and about the Terps for 3 hours, or it's you guys
talking about God knows what.
Exactly. I'd rather God knows what.
Have you texted Tischler yet?
No. Was I supposed to?
No, but he's a monumental plug, baby. You really want some wrestling tickets? Well, text the big man.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
He's got some stroke.
Maybe he's got some what?
Stroke. Power.
Hey.
Juice.
Hey.
Stroke.
Go to break.
Rooster
to break.
Just said Tischler has some stroke.
He have a show to go to.
You guys stink.
Ask me much anything. Phone lines are open next.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.